T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now stay with the fan for this special program.
Hey, baseball fans. The game is over. Welcome to the Gene Wagner Plumbing Postgame Show, presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. After the last pitch, you've made the switch for 17 years. It's time to talk about the game and the team with Tim Allen.
Tim Allen's here. What do you got, Tim?
We'll hear the highlights.
And that one's hit high and deep to right. Suzuki back. Grown man home run by Rowdy Tellez. And the Brewers have the lead.
We'll hear from the manager and the players. We'll discuss the topics from the fans to the front office.
I like Tim's perspective.
History is made each and every year. And we're talking about it. 17 years of coverage after each game. Here's your host, Tim Allen.
It is a final from American Family Field, and the results again are good. A Brewers win over the Cubs, 9-1 the final, and welcome in, everybody. It is the Gene Wagner Plumbing Postgame Show, presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. There's Tim Shea. My name is Tim Allen, and the Brewers get it done again. They go after the sweep tomorrow. I know this may disappoint some. I've already put in a call to my ex-wife, and she is going to give us full permission to borrow her broom for tomorrow to sweep the Chicago Cubs out of here. I mean, that's already prearranged.
There we go.
Full rental rights to her broom. The weather's not going to be great anyway, so she's not going to be flying around on it. 9-1 the final. As the Brewers take care of the Cubs in Game 2, they now finish up the month of April, the first month of the 2022 championship season. It ends with a 15-7 mark. We'll start right there. How do you feel about that through a month's worth of baseball? And by the way, can we agree? Maybe it's a heavy lean toward the offense starting to heat up just a little bit. Oh, I think we can. I think we can start leaning in that direction. There's no question about that. But a 15-7 mark to start the championship season, I feel good about that for a number of reasons that we'll get into tonight. But they not only have those couple of numbers, 15-7, they've got a 5-game winning streak. We'll take that. They've won 6 of 7. We'll take that too. They've won 11 of 13. Keep them coming. They've won 14 of their last 18. I mean, think about that. That is one hell of a start for this baseball team. It is. As we discussed last night and some throughout the both the Pittsburgh Pirates series. You know, it doesn't matter who they're beating. It's a 15-7 mark through this first month of the 2022 championship season. Want to get your reaction on this at 799-1250. How do you feel? I mean, how do you feel after this first month of the season? I know we've been frustrated at times. I get we've been upset at times. I know you've been pissed at times. Me too. All of it. That's all part of the fun. That's all part of the emotional roller coaster that the Brewers have gone through here in the first month. But there are so many things that we can really isolate on that are so positive for this baseball team. The 15-7 mark, we always got to start there. This is all about wins and losses. Now, we're going to talk a lot about some of the numbers here. We're going to get your reaction on this ball game, and beating the Cubs, as I stated yesterday, is just so pleasurable. I relish in the glory again. We are live here in the Lakeland University Studios, the leader in online education. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. And they get it done today, 9-1. They bang out 12 hits again. Three of them home runs. They came into today second in the National League in home runs. Doesn't seem like it. That's the mark of a great team. Guys, it is. You guys have watched this team through 22 games here. Just doesn't seem like they're hitting a bunch of long balls, does it? They're second in the National League. Coming into today, they hit three more today. They've got 9 home runs in the last 2 games. Actually, if the ball was carrying a little bit better, they'd probably have more, upwards of 11 or 12 in the last 2 games. But they get 3 tonight, 1 double, 8 singles. And the 8 singles you can point to as keep the line moving type of offense. But they're 15-7 through the first month of the season, roughly one-sixth into the season. 5 more of these to go. Are you having fun at least? This is kind of cool. Now, are there some blemishes? Of course. There are with every single team. And I believe they will get rectified here with this baseball team. But how about Christian Yelich, a 3-hit night tonight? And you may point to, you know, the base hit up the middle. You may point to certainly the 2-run home run. I don't point to that. I look at the second hit. And that was the opposite field, just going with the pitch and barrel it the other way. That might be the most encouraging thing that happened in this baseball game outside of the victory. Oh, and by the way, we didn't even make one mention about Eric Lauer yet. This was an interesting start for me. Quite fascinated in this. His 4th start on the season. Is he going to continue this stud role that he's on? 7 innings, 1 run allowed, 11 strikeouts. Couple of walks, 5 hits. It's just an amazing role that this guy's on. He now sits 3rd in the National League in ERA since last June. And that is above Corbin Burnes, who's 4th, by the way. And that's above Adrian Hauser, who is 5th, by the way. So, let me just explain this to you. Since last June 27th, the top 5 pitchers in ERAs, this is June of last year. So in essence, midnight tonight, you can say it's going to be a year next month. Since last June, of the top 5 ERAs, the Brewers have 3 of the top 5. In Lauer number 3, Burnes number 4, Hauser number 5. Hold on. Wasn't that supposed to be Brandon Woodruff and Freddie Peralta? That's how good this pitching staff is. That's exactly how good this pitching staff is. If you're not jumping on a bandwagon now, we'll open the door for you and let you in May, June, or July. But this offense is starting to click. The pitching is just been amazing. Another just terrific performance tonight by another starter. And just out of sight here. 799-1250. General question, as American Family Field empties out here. I never did get the attendance. Was that into the 30s, I would think? Hold on, we'll grab the attendance in just a bit. 29,000 plus last night, and that was much bigger crowd tonight. And more Cub fans. And those of you that are coming out of American Family Field, we do that percentage measure also. How many Cub fans did make it up for this game 2 of the series? I suspect a lot more than last night, but there were a lot more Brewer fans in the park as well. So we'll see how that ratio pans out. But I threw it out there on Twitter as well as the Brewers get it done. Lots of highlights to get to. Again, Christian Yelich, a 3-for-5 day. Hunter Renfroe is starting to climb in all categories here. He had a 3-hit game. Malte had came. Again, you talk about strikeouts all around baseball. It didn't seem like it tonight, did it, to you guys? Did it seem like the Brewers' offense struck out 15 times? It didn't seem that way to me.
No, not at all. Not with all the offense going on.
They're all flying under the radar on this one. 9-1 Brewers beat the Cubs. And we're talking about the first month of the season, how you guys are feeling as Brewer fans. You went through a roller coaster of an April. We went through a roller coaster of an offseason. I mean, let's face it. With the lockout and everything, we're certainly settled into the championship season here. I know the Packer draft is, well, it's done now, right? We're done? Or is that a four-day event?
We're
That's
done.
A three-day event?
Three days.
Okay. and then the Bucks get going against Boston. I get all that, but this, we got a foothold in this season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Tim, you talked about a roller coaster in the first month. We went on a roller coaster in the first week of the year.
Yeah, really? Yeah, and it started out in Chicago. And boy, they have turned things around. And talk about the opponents all you want. I don't care. It's 15-7. The calendar is now flipped to May. We're now into May baseball starting tomorrow. And you got to feel good about a 15-7 mark. Let me redo some inventory for you as you're just tuning in here. They're 15-7 through the first month of the season. That's a fantastic mark. And in some regards, depending on your perspective, it probably should be better. If you really think about it, I would look at a couple of games and say, yeah, they probably are one game better than that. They should be 16-6. They should be 10 over 500 in the first month of the season. But they're 15-7. We'll take it. They've won five in a row. There's a five-game winning streak going on right now in Milwaukee. They've won six of their last seven. That's a pretty good week. Let's expand the window a little bit further. They've won 11 of 13. Well, let's just open it wide open. It's a patio door. We'll just slide it right open. They've won 14 of their last 18 games. And when a team you can define as they're not playing their best baseball on a consistent basis, they do pop up to play some really good baseball and put all three phases of the game together. But for a team that hasn't played their best baseball yet, or at least their best consistent baseball, I'm on cloud nine because of that. Great teams win when they're playing not so good. It's just the way it works in all of sports. When you're not on your game and you're still winning baseball games, you're still winning football games, and you're not admittedly on your game, we can always improve here or there, and we got in some regards, we have to improve here or there. That's a great sign. That's the mark of a great team. 799-1250. Let's start things out with Big Ron. Ron, you're first up here on The Fan. How do you feel after 1 month of the championship season?
I feel great, Tim, but I got to tell you, you know, it is so nice to hear you back on the air, and I just want to welcome you back. And thank God, you know, that your health problems that you had are kind of in the past, man.
Well, yeah, most of them are. Now, I'll just tell you this, that, you know, Craig Council has given me some scheduled days off this year. His name is Mitch Rosen. He's my boss. But we're always going to butt them up against an off day, much like Council does. Remember with Braun, with Yelich, he would always give them the day off next to an off day because then they'd have that 48-hour period. That's where I'm at, too. Big Ron, I am, but thanks for that sentiment. It's been quite the journey for me. Yeah.
No, Lauer is the stud, man, and I remember when Brewers fans were freaking out because Lauer and Urias were traded for Davies and Trent Grisham. And Trent Grisham got off to a hot start. You remember that, Tim, man.
Oh, yeah.
And people were saying that trade was a failure. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh no! It's so far, it's the needle has pinned back toward David Stearns on that trade for sure.
For sure, man. I mean, I think Trent Grisham hit like 240 with 15 home runs, and Davies had an ERA like north of 5, and he's, you know, not even on the same team that he was last year. So, yeah, Stearns hit the ball out of the park on that one, man. And, all right, dude. I'll talk to you later, man.
I'll let you go. All right, take it easy. 799-1250. How do you feel after this first month of the season? 37,263. There it is. At American Family Field. And what were the percentage of Cub fans in the building? 37,000. And I could, you guys were revved up, ratcheted up big time all the way through this game. You guys, I got to hand it to you. At in the ballpark, in the ninth inning, going crazy. Is this offense? Has it turned the corner a little bit? You can't say no to that question. There's no way you can just say flat out no, they haven't turned the corner. You can say they're starting to. You can say, yeah, a little bit. You can say it looks like. But there's no way you can deny that this offense isn't turning the corner like we thought it would. I understand the analysis and perspective of 10 games or 5 games or 20 games. But now we're talking 22 games. Let's just talk the last 5 games. How about this? In the last 5 games, this offense has scored 38 runs in 5 games. Where did it start? How did it start? I think I know where it started. There's two tipping points for me on when this offense really, really just changed a little bit. It was Willy Adames' 8th-inning home run Monday night against the Giants. Because that was the first time we at home here could just go crazy over something clutch. And I noticed it then and made mention of it then. The other is that Christian Yelich bunt. Wasn't the McCutchen 2-run base hit to win the game, essentially, in the 9th inning in Pittsburgh? I think it was the bunt by Yelich. Those are the two turning points for me with this offense. But they've been on a roll, 38 runs in 5 games. That's not my math. That's their math. 799-1250. Nate, how you feeling after 1 month of the championship season?
I'm feeling good. You know, I just feel glad that Craig Counsell is finally leaving guys in to play.
Yeah, our boy Rowdy Tellez against the lefty got the start today. How about that, Nate?
Yeah, most definitely. Like, I understand Cody Wong get a day off, Omar not in today, but leaving Rowdy in there when he's hitting the ball well, that guys see that, you know what I mean? And letting him build on his success from yesterday when he hit that bomb yesterday is a big thing for me. I feel like you got to leave the guys in there that's having success so then it can flow throughout the offense. And maybe when he does come back down, it's another guy that takes up and steps up, and they get to stay in. And that's how you got to go. When they're having success, you got to leave them in the lineup. And you said earlier about the that for you was the oppo for Christian Yelich. It was, for me, it was the home run, because you know what I saw when he hit that home run? I saw him pull those hands in, and that ball was inside on the inside corner. Earlier in the year, and when he was struggling, he's watching those pitches go right in the inside corner and watching them be strikes. And that's when they're abusing him. He pulled those hands in, and he put a good swing on the ball. That's what I saw from him, and that's why, I say that home run is the biggest turning point for me as far as seeing him hit the ball and seeing him pull those hands in and punish and making these pitchers pay for putting the ball in the wrong spot and making them pay for their mistakes.
Yeah,
Nate, thanks for the call and enjoy this, man. So Nate feels good about the Brewers overall and certainly the offense through the first month of the season. They are starting to hit the ball better. How about Hunter Bradley Jr.? He's starting to hit the ball a little bit better. I'm sorry, someone called him that once. I'm not sure who.
You're never going to give that up, are you?
Yeah, but as long as he's going to hit like this, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's on a tear right now. The basically the entire offense is. But how do you like the aforementioned Rowdy Tellez? Gets the start against the lefty Steele today. First AB, RBI base hit against that lefty. I think Rowdy is an everyday player, guys. I just do. And that I'm as objective as I can possibly be. Why? The proof of that is that Keston here is my guy. And it's at the mercy of his playing time that I'm saying Rowdy Tellez is an everyday player. He just is. He is. I mean, he's potentially way better than we even know. That's how good I think he is. Look at the ABs for him. Look at him fight. Everyone's susceptible to the strikeout. We all understand that. But look at the approach that Rowdy does. It's always a deep count. He's always fighting. He's always fouling. And this year it's been barrel. He went through the little skid there. I think it was an 0 for 15 right in the middle there. Started out hot, got a little cold, and now starting to heat back up. 799-1250. Threw it out there on Twitter as well. How do you feel after the first month of the campaign here? At a 15-7 mark, winners of 5 in a row, 6 of 7, 11 of 13, 14 of 18. I know I threw a bunch of numbers at you right there. Let's go to TC. TC, leaving American Family Field. How are the Cub fans, and what do you think the percentage of Cub fans in the building was?
I'd say probably 50% each, I think.
Really?
Yeah, there were a lot of Cubs fans around me in my section. I was in 437 front row. So,
okay.
And I told them, I says, as I'm going over by my buddy on another section, I says, hey, don't worry. It's a long season, guys. He says, hey, I appreciate it, but don't worry, man. You guys got to worry about the Cardinals. I said, you're right. But because the Cardinals are pesky. They're that fruit fly, that mosquito that just will not go away.
Yeah, so, that's how bad the Cubs are. The Cub fans got to warn us about another team that would take
exactly,
care of us, not their own.
Exactly, right. Exactly, yep. But, no, and turning point for me real quick, getting the man the hit, Mr. Hit, McCutch. That was a turning point for me. So.
Okay. Yep. And you're just talking his signing, or you're
just,
saying
just bringing
a particular...
him into the ball club. Yes, bringing him into the locker room.
That could turn out to be bigger than...
I'm just saying, yeah.
It might be bigger than we even know.
Could be.
Yeah, that could be another leader type. And how can he not be a veteran leader? I've never heard of Andrew McCutchen getting in trouble off the field. I've never heard of him being a clubhouse cancer. I've never heard him being a on the negative side of anything, really. So
taking your profession professionally, Tim.
Yeah, that's
not slacking off. You're not in high school. This is your job.
Yeah, no doubt. So how do you feel after 1 month, TC?
Oh, man, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm getting new. Every time I go back there, I'm getting new brewer gear. I don't care. I mean, this is it, man. I mean, we're on the cusp.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Thing.
Thanks for the call, dude. Thanks. 799-1250. There will be, and just we all know this, that you're going to turn on this radio show one night, one day, and I'm going to be losing my mind. What am I going to be losing my mind about? I don't know. Flip a coin.
Jake Cousins.
It could be Jake Cousins, yes. I mean, it could be Craig Counsell. It could be, who knows? Just an error. I don't know. But that will happen. I'll just promise you, that's the course of a baseball season. But the reason I ask this is because it encompasses one full month of the season now. And I think there's something to be said about, you know, being reactionary on a given game. But there's also a bigger picture view and a little more macro view of it. I love micro view. I do. And microbrew, too. But I love doing that. You guys know that. Pick apart all different scenarios. Lefty, lefty, righty, righty. Why did he do this? They were going to counter with this. And chess match was going on. And you had this guy up or not this guy up in the bullpen. Why didn't you have that? I love that, too. But now that we have a certain benchmark that we've hit, it's going to be May tomorrow. It's a little more objective, right, as a whole. Even us that hang on every pitch and get passionate and emotional on, you know, inning by inning, pitch by pitch, sequence by sequence, even guys like that, like me, will take a step back and say, that's full month. That's a month of April, Tim. The full month of April is done now.
It's a good sample size.
Let's just think about that. Yeah. I mean, it's a little different perspective than I'm used to because, after all, it is a post-game show. We do talk about the game itself. Now we can talk about the month on a benchmark like this. Pick a caller, Tim. Where do you want to go?
Let's go with Ricky here.
Ricky, what do you say? You're on the Fan. What's going on? Go
hey,
ahead,
Timmy.
Ricky.
You got Ricky in the barn here. Well, I got to say, kicking the crap out of the Cubs back-to-back nights, that's just fun to watch. I expect apologies from everybody who said Renfro was just like JBJ. What do you have to say about that, Big Timmy? I'll take your answer off the air.
You know what? That was the guy you had to give time to because he's sort of that Avi Garcia. Did Avi Garcia, did he ever really, was he creating fan clubs and was everyone rally crying around Avisail Garcia and man, he's great. And just more and more people, thousands of people. That was their favorite brewer. Not really. But at the end of the season, look at his numbers. His numbers didn't lie. Hunter Renfro is just like that. They didn't skip a beat by losing Avi Garcia to Hunter Renfro. They really didn't, guys. Not. They may have gotten a little better of the deal, you know, just in terms of the sheer numbers, but very, very similar numbers and a very, very similar sentiment. I think, and I said this when the Brewers acquired him, people are going to learn to love Hunter Renfro. And even earlier this year, you're going to learn to love that dude. You are. You're going to like him a lot. Same thing I said about Avi Garcia. But it's just not a splash value Andrew McCutchen. You know what I mean? It's just not that sort of splash value name. But those are the guys you need to, number one, stack a lineup. And those are the guys you need to win a World Series. It's that guy right there. It's a team full of those guys. It's a team full of Omar Narvaez's. Because every team has the Christian Yelich type. Every team has the Willy Adames type. They all have one or two or three of those guys. The trick is to get that middle tier, Omar, Renfro, Rowdy, Colton Wong, stack that middle tier. Andrew McCutchen is a splash value name, and I think one of our prior callers mentioned it, that we may not and should not underestimate that acquisition as well. Bill, is that where we're going?
Yep, we're going to Bill.
Let's do it. Bill, you're next on the Fan. What's going on?
Hey, Tim. A couple of things I wanted to say here. I was listening to the radio broadcast, and Lane Grindle was commenting about the pitching staff, and what he said was, you can't talk about the big three anymore. You got to talk about the six aces. And I really like that comment. How about Lauer? Man, he's doing a heck of a job, but I'm understating the obvious. The other thing I wanted to say was, I was really happy to see Yelich seeming to break out of his couple-season slump. And I agree with you. When he hit that ball to left field,
that was the one.
The timing to do that with a ball coming at you in excess of 90 miles an hour, that was incredible. And I do believe his confidence is coming back.
Yeah,
thank God for that.
Yeah, Bill, thank you. When he starts to go to center field and to left field, he's going to go on a tear. That's all I know. That's what we all should know. We can go all night long about different metrics of you know, all these different statistical measurements. But what I do know is, and you do too, watching Christian Yelich, you got to watch him play. And when he's hitting the ball to center field and to left field with power, and that's the key, when he's barreling the other way, it's turn out the lights because he's going to be there. Now, that, again, we've seen flashes before, so I'm going to keep it as positive as I can. Let's just say that he's going to continue this and go on his merry way as a great three hitter. But if those that believe, and I'm one, that believe he's going to get back to being an all-star player and a great Major League Baseball hitter, this is how you start getting back to that. You don't just magically appear back at that. That's a dig out of a hole here that he's doing. And it's pretty impressive to see. You want to get one more in before the break? You guys, I want to know how you're feeling after the first month of the season. 1 month in, a 15-7 mark, and they've won five in a row. No one's thinking about, well, it's only the Pirates and the Cubs. You beat the Pirates and the Cubs five straight games. Big deal. But it is a big deal. It's five. It's plus five in 5 days. It gives you wiggle room to have your bumps and bruises throughout a long 162. This is what builds you the cushion to have a little bit of a rut that you go into. Because I'll promise you they will be going into one or two before the season's up. They will. This is what gives you the cushion to minimize the damage. These are huge victories. They are in that regard. If you just look at it that way, don't look at the opponent. Just look at, know you're going to have a few bumps along the way, but you've built up this cushion, and thank goodness, against the Pirates and Cubs. You may end up getting swept by the Cincinnati Reds at some point this year. It's quite possible. But this is what built up the cushion to recover a hell of a lot quicker. You want to get one more in,
yeah,
Timmy,
before the break? Yeah, let's go to Ryan, who's leaving AmFam Field.
Ryan, what do you say, buddy?
Tim, I agree with you. I think that we build off the momentum tomorrow. We got Stroman and Burns on the hill. That's going to be a great pitching matchup. And then I think that the Brewers just take care of business and keep it rolling against the Reds in the next series at home early next week. But the way Lauer's pitching as our number four or five starter, and if you can just keep Rowdy Tellez as much as you can in the starting lineup, I mean, I think the sky's the limit for this team to win the NL Central. I don't see it any way else.
Yeah, are you like me, Ryan, that sometimes it's more difficult to take a step back and look at the bigger chunk of games? I'm always brooding over a bullpen situation, or why didn't Hobie Milner go against Jock Peterson and things like that. You know, I think it's days like this, Ryan. Do you have that ability to step back and just measure the whole month instead of just one situation?
Yeah, and you look at tonight's game, the Brewers got on the board their first four runs of the game. They all manufactured, and then they started to get the home runs going later in the game. So the Brewers can, you know, show that they can manufacture runs in a variety of ways. But I think the bullpen needs to just keep improving. Some of those guys on the back end there, maybe you make an acquisition at the deadline coming up. But I think after the first month of the season, you got to be pretty pleased tonight. And it was a good crowd out there. I would say maybe 40% Cubs fans, but besides that one home run, Timmy, they had nothing to cheer about.
Exactly. All right, Ryan, thanks for the call. That's, oh boy, one said 50-50, the other, he just said 40% cut.
So I was 60-40. Gonna say, from what I heard on TV, it didn't sound like it was loud, but obviously they didn't have anything to cheer for. So
late in the game, I mean, the Brewer fans stepped up. Yes. I thought it was kind of crazy. That was a cool celebration. It really was. Especially the Yelich homer. I mean, that just had to be sweet to be in that park. I did notice this also. I don't know if you guys, if you're new to this, just trust me, this happened. But those of you that have been listening to this show for years, you may recall about 4 or 5 years ago, me going crazy on some rants about how many infield singles that go against the Brewers, and especially the Cubs. Guess who's getting a lot of infield singles these days? It's our Milwaukee Brewers. So it does go back. It does flip the other way also, but I've noticed that. Look, Hunter Renfro had two of them today. He had two infield singles today. I mean, I thought what Lorenzo Cain yesterday or the day before had two himself in one game. How do you feel after 1 month of baseball here in the 2022 championship season? Not necessarily to talk about any bullpen move, any starting lineup, any failed at bat with a runner at third with less than two out. Just the whole view of the month of April. That's what we're talking about tonight. Hear from Craig Counsell, get to the highlights. The box score is going to be fun for me to read again tonight. 799-1250, if you were at American Family Field, do you want to refute about a 50-50 split Cub fan, Brewer fan in there? It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Post Game Show presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. 9-1, Brewers take care of the Cubs again. We'll be right back here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Gene Wagner Plumbing Post Game Show, presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek on 1250 AM, The Fan. Time to head into the clubhouse and hear from the pros.
And the Brewers take care of the Cubs again in Game 2 of this three-game set. 9-1 the final, and the fireworks came a little bit later on. The Brewers did hit 3 home runs, 6 yesterday, 3 tonight. Had a double, but 8 singles, I think, is a key stat to look at in this one. And we're going to hear from Christian Yelich, a 3-hit game, including a 2-run home run, an opposite field base hit off the lefty. And we'll take that all day long because we know good things are coming. Want to get your thoughts on just the month of April. Now it's buttoned up with a 15-7 mark. And just as a just an overall view of how you think the Brewers are. And again, just to reiterate a little bit, that doesn't mean we can't, have a little dust up here and there about a bullpen move or someone slumping or lineups or anything like that. That doesn't mean we can't and won't do that, because we will.
But in this case, it's kind of a decent benchmark day to flip the calendar to May, and you've got the first month of the 22 championship season in the books and how you're feeling about that thus far. And most of you that listen to this show, you probably follow a good chunk of Brewers baseball, I would bet, if not all of Brewers baseball. I mean, we've been hanging out talking Brewers baseball for a long time, like Dwayne. Dwayne, you're next on the Fan at 799-1250. What's going on?
Hey, calling from Wisconsin Rapids, quite a few hour drive away, and just want to, again, compliment the organization. You know, hearing Rock talk about the thunder and showers and lightning, you know, I don't think any of us would have liked to sit through a rain delay tonight. But
this is one of those nights that if you've been outside, it's a windy and rainy and thunderstorms and actually kind of a little brisk at times. And the good weather, as Euchre would say, it'll get here. It'll get here. The weather will. We all know that.
Made it to three games ready, heading in, taking the Red Series, looking forward to it. But hats off to you and Odyssey. You know, again, I'm calling from Wisconsin Rapids. I can't wait till that final out and hearing your voice and talking the excitement. And I know there's other stations we could listen to. Now, 12:50 a.m. is the key. But getting back to it, those smiles in the dugout. You know, everybody, you talk the team concept that they have, even the Alex Jackson just coming up, and just the genuineness of love for the other players, or seeing Freddie Peralta being harassed by Willie and so on. I mean, They're having some fun time, bringing back a lot of good memories from the days of Molly and Yount and Gorman and Gantner. They're having fun. And that's
Dwayne, I made mention of that some weeks ago, and I think I did a show that said, what is missing? And I thought, you know, at the top of my list was the excitement and fun factor. It just hadn't hit yet. It just hadn't. And that's why I said this turnaround a little bit, some would say it's, you know, the overall winning, and that's good, and that's obviously a given. But I really think it was Monday night's eighth-inning home run at home against the Giants by Willy Adames. You actually saw and felt some excitement, just a shot in the arm.
And again, I've done a lot of youth coaching and so forth, and that's what I've always told the kids, have fun. That's what ball is about. And again, you know, you see these other teams that, you know, the temper tantrums and stuff that Schwarber did, you know, we're going to have them, but you don't see it as the normal. You know, there's a lot of pulling, you know, together, or even a cane catch in the left field and then shaking that index finger. Not today.
Exactly. Shaking his head and with that, nope, not going to happen. Doesn't have to be a home run robbing catch for a not today catch. No.
Yeah, and as we've all said, because as, you know, we all are getting older, it's sometimes you look at him and it's like he's having a hard time walking. But, man, when he has to hit it into that overdrive, he's got it.
Yeah. Dwayne, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you listening on the Odyssey app, right? You know, there are choices to listen to. I understand that, and I know you got choices, and that's cool. It's always good to have some choices, but I appreciate that you flip back in here and just have some fun with us at 799-1250 like Brian. Brian, you're next on the Fan.
Hey, Tim. You know, last night we went to the game and again today, and I just want to thank you for your show last night after the game. I mean, listen to you talk about, you know, the Cub-Brewer rivalry, and I just got to tell you, tonight was one of those games where just brought me back to one of those Brewer Cub games where you had those Cub fans just coming in here thinking they own the place. And I got to tell you, it just makes it really, really hard to go to Brewer games when they come to and act the way they do. I mean, thank God we jumped on them early, and they really had nothing to cheer about, and it just, Your show after coming home just really was fun to listen to, because, you know, I'm glad they walked out of that stadium now with their tail between their legs.
Well, and they should be offended by that revenue machine that is the Chicago Cub brand, and you got to tear it all down, and you're intentionally trying to lose, but let's face it, you got the perfect side by side comparison here of a general manager, president of baseball ops now, David Stearns, that's doing a kick and scratch and doing everything he can within a minimal budget in the grand scheme and picking up and trading and trying and doing all these things, yet you have the big money 90 miles that way, and they just don't do it this way. What if they did? They'd win the division every single year because it would be, you know, buying the good players a little bit and then, you know, going through your prospects and bringing those guys up. It's just, that's so fine. You know, Meyer in the turmoil. That's cool with me.
The only thing they could do tonight was continue drinking the way they were and then to keep on rapping and raving and talking about how they won a world championship in 2016. It just was so frustrating to listen to that, and thankfully we got him out of there because it just we don't have to listen to that when it come to Amfield, I'm sorry. But then one other thing I just want to mention to you, Tim, and I know Will Salmon tweeted this tonight about Nick Yelly's numbers in 2018 versus now, and I'm not saying he's by no means over the hump. By no means, I know he's dealing with some confidence, obviously, but I'll tell you, he's a different player just watching him right now. And I'll tell you, if we get the Yelly of old back and all these guys working together and this pitching staff, I mean, I'll tell you, it's fun to be a Brewer fan.
Yeah, it is right now. All right, yeah, the first month. Brian, thanks for the call. The first month has been fun. It is fun. Some of the downs have been fun in a weird way. Again, they've been fun to kind of open up a can of worms and talk about the elephant in the room. It's been fun. Is it changing? Seems like it. It does. And they've been playing who they've been playing. But this is what they should do against those teams. You say Pittsburgh and Chicago. 5-game winning streak. 38 runs in the 5 games. Isn't this what you're supposed to do? If you're the great team and they're the bad teams, this is exactly the way it's supposed to shake out. Exactly. You shouldn't feel bad at all about the competition being subpar. If you are winning games 2-1, which you will in baseball and, you know, in a lot of cases, but just, again, the bigger picture of the 5 games, shouldn't you be doing this against these teams? It's exactly what a great team does. You pitch good, you hit the ball. 38 runs. I mean, seemingly every single night, this starting rotation has just given you every opportunity to just win a baseball game. This did seem, by the way, this game here, it did have a little bit of feel of like it could go sideways a little bit. It was a weird game, and that happens with Brewer Cub games. We all know that. It does kick sideways a lot of times on a Cub-Brewer matchup. And it seemed that way, especially in the first inning. You have an error. You have 2 errors in the first inning. We'll get our game recap here in just a little while. But you have a couple of errors in there. You have a replay that, well, you had a double play that ended the inning, but then, but there's more. No, it didn't end the inning. I don't know what the problem was there. Did the umpires not look at counsel? Did he, so you come back to play, everyone goes to commercial break, TV, radio, the inning's over, and you go on. No, you come right back, and it's still the bottom of the first inning. Then on top of it, Rowdy Tellez comes up with really sort of a backbreaker RBI base hit. And you go up 3-0. Then a couple of innings later, it's 3-1. Now it's a little tense. Now Cub fans are starting to get into it at your ballpark. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You continue to beat them 11-1 and 9-1 and don't let up and foot on their throat. Those Cub fans will stop coming. They will. I'll promise you they will. It'll take all the fun out of it. You want to go up to Milwaukee and see the game? It's like, no, let's hang out here and go to happy hour somewhere. That's what's going to happen if this continues. All right, let's hear from Christian Yelich. Brian, our last caller, mentioned Christian Yelich and seems better, right? It does seem better, and I thought a focal point in the game tonight was the opposite field base hit. Nate, one of our regular callers, had made mention of an inside pitch to move the hands in. His hand position to get the barrel on it, which is pretty insightful, and it's true. But, I mean, you could take either one of those at-bats and say, hey, this is Christian here. But Christian Yelich, after the Brewers beat the Cubs, on the field with Bally Sports Wisconsin, Sophia Minert.
Thanks, Craig. Christian, last night you spoke about riding the wave as a lineup and as an offense. So what kind of wave are you guys riding right now with 20 runs scored in the last two nights?
Just trying to string quality at-bats together, and everybody just trying to stay within themselves, pass the baton. Nobody needs to be the hero. Just do what you got to do, and, you've seen the results the last two nights.
For you, three hits tonight, you've homered in back-to-back games. What are you most happy with your approach and the results that you're getting?
Just trying to be consistent, putting the work in, and, sometimes that stuff happens. But, you just got to keep grinding. We got a long season. We're barely done with the first month of the year, so we got a long way to go.
Eric Lauer was absolutely dominating again tonight following a career night against the Phillies. 11 strikeouts for him. What have you seen as the difference with Eric Lauer this month?
He's just attacking. He's getting ahead. The ball looks like it's coming out of his hand really good. You can hear the pop of the glove in the outfield when he's letting it go. So it's coming in hot. He's been great for us, and hopefully it continues.
Four straight series wins now. You guys will finish April with 15 wins on the season. What do you think you guys have shown as a team in this first month?
I don't think we've even really played our best yet. And, showing we can win games in a lot of different ways. And, I talk about it in spring training and stuff all the time. You learn your identity as a team. You learn how to win. You learn, what you're about over the course of the year. And I think this group's still doing that. But we've shown we can do it in a lot of different ways. And we just got to keep doing it and, try and string as many together as we can.
All right. Thanks, Christian, for the time. Christian Yelich and Hunter Renfro, homer in back-to-back games.
Thanks.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show, presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. It's time to dive inside the box score for today's game on 1250 AM The Fan. Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. Great food, awesome fish fries, plenty of TVs to watch the games, and always a friendly vibe.
Yeah, you just heard it right there from Christian Yelich, and that, to me, I'm right there with you, Christian. You're not playing your best baseball, and you have a 15-win month. And that, by the way, is tops in Major League Baseball, tied with the Mets and Yankees. 15-7 mark through April. Let's check out some of the numbers. We're going to hear from Craig Counsell if you guys want to jump in here as well. 414-799-1250 and just give us your perspective on this first month. 37,000 plus, we'll take that at American Family Field tonight, for sure. And if a chunk were Cub fans, which it was, we'll take their money too. Thank you. Hey, by the way, don't let the toll booth hit you in the tailgate on your way back to Illinesia down I-94. Let's check out the numbers here. Andrew McCutchen, 0-for-5 with a run scored. Didn't seem like it. Boy, he's been hitting the ball hard. I mean, he hit a laser beam right to the center fielder in this ball game. Nothing to show for it, but he's definitely had an impact on the Brewers this year. Willy Adames, 1-for-4, a run scored and a walk. Christian Yelich, 3-for-5, 2 runs scored, 3 RBIs. Hunter Renfro tonight, 3-for-5, 2 RBIs, 3 runs scored. Keston Hira, 1-for-5 with an RBI. Lorenzo Cain goes 0-for-3 with a run scored. He also drew a walk. Rowdy Tellez, 2-for-4, a run scored, 3 RBIs. Mike Brasso, 1-for-3 with an RBI. He also drew a walk. Alex Jackson goes 1-for-4 in the ball game. Pitching lines tonight really is the story of the Milwaukee Brewers right now, is pitching, and has been. Let's face it. It has been last year and this year. No different tonight. Eric Lauer, 7 innings. He allows 1 run on just 5 hits, does walk a man, and strikes out 11. 96 pitches in the performance. His ERA now sits at 1.93 through his 4 starts here in the campaign. Wow. Trevor Gott, 1 inning, 0s across the board with a strikeout. Jake Cousins got into some trouble into that 9th inning. Did not allow a run, but he allowed a hit and a couple of walks and struck out 3 after he got himself into some trouble. In and out of trouble for Jake Cousins. Brewers get 9 runs tonight on 12 hits, no errors. The Cubs just 1 run on 6 hits with 2 errors. The win goes to Eric Lauer. He is now 2-0, and the loss to Justin Steele. He goes to 1-3, and the Brewers now 15-7. Again, tied for the most wins in Major League Baseball. 37,000-plus to witness a Brewers 9-1 victory. Let's get a call or two in here before we hear from Craig Counsell. Let's go to Sean. Sean, you're next on the Fan. What's going on, Sean?
Am I on?
You are.
Oh, hey, listen to this. So I was at the game today. I was at the game yesterday. I'm going tomorrow. And what I wanted to just – my main point was I wanted to build off what you were saying about this these Cubs fans. And when I go to the game, you know, I don't use no foul language, but I make sure to let them know that this is Milwaukee. This is Brew to, this is Brew City, you know what I mean? You're in our house. And it's been electric. I was at opening day, and the bats are just flying off the post. And like you were saying, I won't use no foul language, but I like to get in those Cubs fans' head and let them know this isn't your park. This is our park.
Yep. No, I'm with you 100%. I tried years ago. And it's funny how this works sometimes. Sean, years ago, I tried to get a Milwaukee chant going at Brewers games, and it really didn't take, you know, just and especially in the Cubs series, just Milwaukee. It's funny how that just flipped over into the Bucks season, and now it's kind of a Bucks thing. That'd be cool in American Family Field when you guys got to answer back to those Cub fans, because you do. You guys are the ones sitting right next to them. You got to hear it all. And it's okay to give it right back to them. But as you said, yeah, keep the profanity down. There's kids around. And it doesn't need to ever, ever, ever get violent.
Oh, no. I do get turned we do get turned up. And that's the thing, because I don't know if there's kids around, so we won't use the profanity. But yeah, they don't like it. I will tell you, they don't like it. And like you were just saying, you know what? Why are they even going to take the time to come up here, if they're just going to have a miserable experience and we're just, you know what I'm saying? Like the beer is going to be flowing and we're just going to be clapping hands. And so, we'll take the money, like you said, but it really is nice. It really is nice to kind of rub it in their face. I'm sorry.
Sean, great call. I'm with you. I'm with you, bud. All right, thanks for the call. Call anytime. Yeah, again, there's a certain form of etiquette. Sometimes people lose their mind a little bit. Hey, now I've told you guys before, I've made some mistakes at some sports events, and I'm not super proud of it, so it does happen. But I think the more you beat them, and you beat them soundly, and not just beat them like you did last night and tonight, they're not going to come up here. On the other hand, we'll take their money, as Sean and I said. And then the third thing is, let's face it, here's the sucky part about it. They did win the World Series, you know, 7 years ago, 6 years ago, right? Yeah, 6.
Yeah.
In 16, and there's really not much. not much we can say about that.
Yeah.
It is the sad part.
You just can't fight that one.
Just get one for all of us. Get one for Robin Yount and Molitor, and Cooper, and Braun, and Hardy, and all of who has followed all those guys.
Fielder.
All of those guys, Corey Hart, and all your favorites over the years, get one. And then get one, you know, again, get one for the fans, really. From Wausau and Eau Claire down to Kenosha, man. Just get one so that way, well, if for no other reason, you can say you got a World Series, number one. But number two, the Cub fans, then they got no rights. You know, they've had 150 years, and they've got one, and the Brewers have had 50 years, and they get one. You know, it's coming, though. It does feel like it's coming. It takes a lot to win a World Series. It does. Things got to go right. But there's also freight trains that win the World Series. And that fan base and that organization knew that they were going to win the World Series. And they knew it in August. And they knew it in July. There was no stopping them. And they went off and went box to wire and took it off the sheet. Those seasons happen too. Let's not make that mistake to think that every single World Series winner had to kick and scratch and claw and have things bounce right for them. That's not the truth. Again, there's some other teams that have won the World Series that just win it. They just go out. They knew they were going to win it, and they win it. Let's see. Where do you want to go here?
We're going to go out to Greg, who is calling from Chicago.
Greg, what do you say down in Chicago?
Timmy, good to hear you. Been listening for 17 long years, so I appreciate everything you do. Just want to make sure that, you know, as much as we back the Brew Crew, you know, we're playing against a bunch of bad teams.
Sure.
And we're racking up wins, as we should, against the bottom of the barrel. But, you know, we're going to have some good challenges here coming forth. We need to build a big lead, but we're beating up bad teams. So that's one of the things I wanted to say.
Well, hold on, and I'll let you get to your second point. However, let me just tell you this, Greg. When you play bad teams and your pitching staff, not just your starters, your staff as a whole in the five games, let's just say Pittsburgh and Chicago here, you've given up 13 runs in those five games. That's it. And you've scored, on the other hand, 38. Isn't that kind of a victory in itself? Doesn't that take care of the opponent being a subpar opponent? Doesn't that take that argument a little bit off the table when you beat their brains in 38-13 in five games?
Not right now, it doesn't. Not until we get to that half mark, that half water mark, you know, in July, All-Star break. And we're beating the teams like we should have beat San Francisco. We should have probably put up some more runs against the Phillies. We haven't played that great of a competition yet to really say, okay, yeah, we put up some runs. We haven't. And so there's a long season. It's early. We're a good squad. The pitching is the best. But we don't have the proof in the pudding for the hitting to make me feel good about it yet. And it kind of feels like we haven't even picked up since last postseason. We've kind of played on the same playground that we were playing on in the postseason. Couldn't get any hits. So it's an argument that I love to debate, but I just don't think we're there.
Okay, good. And the fact that they're not there and they're 15-7 should be a good sign, right?
Well, that's the best. That's the best because we got a good manager. We got a good pitching staff, and they're going to play solid ball with the team they put together. David Stern's the best in the business. So we're always going to be there, but we got to get over that hump. I'm tired of just being good, and then when it comes down to it, not getting over the hump. And we got to get over that hump. And these guys got it. And Council's a winner. He's a winner, and that's the best thing we have going for us, is we have a great manager. So I'm not trying to poo-poo the whole thing. I'm just saying, man, we're beating up some pretty crummy teams right now. We need to play that same way against the league leaders, and we haven't played them yet. So the
jury's still
out. And
they'll get a good test, next weekend in Atlanta. That'll be a nice test. I mean, they've got Cincinnati after the off day on Monday. But May Kay here. I'm glad, Greg, we could meet in the middle on 15-7. That's the best about all of this. I mean, that's what it's about.
You
got to
beat these teams. You got to beat these teams. But let's not get too excited yet. Let's keep this going. We got a good squad, good coach, and we'll be there. But we got to get over that hump.
All right. Thanks for the conversation, Greg. That's
all right,
cool.
Man.
Yep. 799-1250. If you want to jump in, he's right. It is a perspective, but again, there's two things when you play these types of teams. The run differential, 38-13, and number two, put them in any order, I guess, this will allow some cushion. So when you do, because you're not going to roll over. I know we want to beat teams like Atlanta, St. Louis, and now, you know, the Mets look pretty good this year. We're starting to see Giants have been a good team here the last few years. But, you know, chances are you're not going 38-13 over those dudes. Uh-uh. But can you still win those games? Can you stay competitive? And if you don't, and if you start losing 3-2, 4-3, 3-1, then these wins have built that cushion to allow that to happen on a given series, on a given road trip, on a given run, or, you know, you may lose four in a row here in the month of May. I don't know. But when you build a cushion, it does lighten the load on how heavy duty and negative it can be in that clubhouse, too, where you're not sitting there sweating, oh, man, we've lost three in a row. Well, yeah, you just built a cushion against some subpar teams that allows you to not freak out when it happens. So that it definitely is a perspective. I, Greg, like you, I love debating that. I think it's a great debate. How well you play and who you play is what it comes down to. And obviously the wins and losses is where we met. Craig Counsell, a great manager. That's what Greg said. I think he's a very good manager, but I think he will be a great manager. And he's going to be the all-time winningest manager in Brewers history this season, I would say in about a month and a half. I mean, what does he need? Some 20-some odd wins?
Yeah, it's like 23, 22.
Yeah, so. Something like that within a month and a half. Yeah, 5-6 weeks. He should be able to get that done.
Sometime in June.
It's pretty crazy to think about. Really? Doesn't it seem like he was just hired like 2 or 3 years
ago? It does.
Ago?
It really, really does.
Man, slow this all down. In the meantime, if it's going to go fast, you better hurry up and win a World Series here. People are dying. I mean, they just are. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and hear from the aforementioned Craig Counsell. Brewers beat the Cubs. Love saying it. They beat them again. And if you tuned in late, this just in, little breaking news, I already arranged it with my ex-wife. She said we could borrow her broom to sweep the Cubs back to Chicago tomorrow.
Break out the broom!
So nice of her to allow that to happen. We'll be right back here on The Fan.
It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Baseball Postgame Show, presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. Let's get the scoop from the skipper on today's game on 1250 AM The Fan.
Wait just a second here before we get to Craig Counsell. We have not heard any highlights here. And anytime the Brewers beat the Cubs, we got to hear Bally Sports Wisconsin, and in this case, Jeff Levering. And once again, you know, it's a 9-1 victory over the Cubs, and I relish in all of that glory. All every 9-1 sequence in this whole deal. 11-1 yesterday, 9-1 today. You do the math, and just the brutal domination over the Chicago Cubs through two games. And let's just put the fork in them and be done with it tomorrow and get the sweep. We'll get to all of these calls. Our call of the game, which is brought to you by 5 O'Clock Steakhouse, Wisconsin's number one steakhouse by the Food Network. Visit them and make online reservations at 5oclocksteakhouse.com. So they get the victory, and they get out to it. Again, guys, I got to say that you know, setting the tone early in a game, I think, is more important in baseball than a lot of people think. And they just think, oh, it's a long game. But I do believe that it does put the other guys on their heels a little bit. So let's go back to the first inning. Lauer, strikeout in the first. Second batter, strikeout to Contreras. By the way, I did also hear all the boos every time Wilson Contreras came up. Sweet. That was as music to my ears. And then another strikeout. Three up, three down. All strikeouts for the Brewers left-hander, Eric Lauer. Now that's setting a tone right there. That's for sure. Bottom of the first inning. Brewers tap open the keg. McCutchen gets the ball in play. Reaches on error. Yelich then with a base hit. And another error in center field allows Yelich and McCutchen to get to second and third, respectively. Let's just play that. You know what? Because it's an error by the Cubs, we got to play that.
Not a lot of variable. There's a line drive base hit up the middle for Yelich. He'll take that one.
And now McCutchen's going to streak for third. Yelich's going to follow right behind him. Very heads-up base running for the Brewers.
Yeah, we'll take that. That's the second error in the inning for the Chicago Cubs. Now, get the ball in play. And a lot of times, good things will happen, and it did in that first inning off the bat of Hunter Renfroe.
And this one squibbed off the end of the bat. Here comes McCutchen to the plate. Steele tags. And safe at first is Renfroe.
That might be another error.
Boy, what a quagmire that was from Justin Steele.
Wow.
Yeah, that's Brewers up. It goes down as a single, one zip. Brewers, runners at the corners. For Keston here, a sort of a lash bunt, a slash bunt. I don't know what he was doing on the one play. But okay, maybe there was a call on that play, but so be it. It went foul, by the way. But it ends up the AB with this.
And a line drive base hit up the middle. 2-0 Brewers. A two-strike knock for Keston Hiura.
Yep, on a fastball.
It does seem like he's seeing the ball better, guys. It really does. His approach, we hear that term a lot. It really does seem like Keston Hiura is starting to put things back together. It really does. It's a long season. I understand that, but that's good to see. One out, two in, two on, first and second for Lorenzo Cain. And he hits into an inning-ending double play. But the Brewers put up two zip to the second. But wait, there's more. No, hold it. Everyone goes to commercial break, scramble the Jets. Let's come back here. Lorenzo Cain, he beat out that double play attempt. Did anyone check with Craig Counsell? He wanted to review that. So he's safe at first, Lorenzo Cain. Then don't forget, there's a runner at third. And Rowdy Tellez steps up. Lefty-lefty matchup. Hey, Craig Counsell, I want you to hear this if you're on your way home. I want you to hear this. This is a left-handed pitcher. You've got your left-handed first baseman. You allowed him to hit away. And here's how it sounded on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Ground ball towards the middle. That'll get through. An extra run for the crew comes in as Cain streaks for third. 3-0 here in the first.
There you go. That's the way to set the tone in this game. They put up three runs in that first inning. Brasso did strike out to end the frame, but four hits, three runs, two errors in the inning, and an overturned replay call, and they go into the second inning. That's what I was saying before. This is a Cub-Brewer game that had all the earmarkings early of going completely on tilt. And we've seen many, many of those games over the years. Didn't turn out to go that way, but I thought it would for a second there. Cubs get a run back in the second inning on a couple of hits, a solo shot from Gomes, and the base hit by Happ, but a pair of strikeouts for Lauer. He has five through the first two innings, 3-1. Brewers traffic in the bottom half of the second. They don't score. Alex Jackson led off the inning with a base hit. Two outs later, Christian Yelich with a beautiful piece of hitting, a base hit to left field. 2-for-2 on the day so far. But ground out ends the inning to the third, 3-1. Oh, this is a little bit of a turning point in this game. And Cubs get a couple of runners with two outs in that third inning. One infield single, another clean base hit. But Lauer bears down and gets Suzuki to fly out to right to end that threat. That was a big part of this game. Seemed like a tipping point to me. Bottom of the third, pay window. Brewers stepping up. One out walk to Cain. Rowdy Tellez then strikes out for the second out. Lorenzo Cain steals second base during the AB. A lot of cat and mouse. And I'm telling you, I felt a little something maybe up with both these two teams. You know, it's a tight ball game. Steele stepping off, batters stepping out. That was a little bit of a gamesmanship game in that bottom of the third inning. Brasso comes through with two outs to give the Brewers another run. Oh, okay, gotcha. No, it wasn't Brasso that did that. It was Rowdy Tellez with a bat in his hand in the fifth inning. Is that where we're at here? Rowdy Tellez needs to play every day. Roll the tape.
Tellez to center. Back out at Hermosillo, still back loading track, and Telez gets it out this time. Number four for Rowdy.
Yeah, number four on the season as Rowdy Telez gets a start against a left-hander. That's not the only time he has started in a ball game against a lefty this year. So we are seeing him. It's not a true split between Keston Hira and Rowdy Telez. We're seeing Wong starting to take a little bit of a breather against the left-handers. But Rowdy with home run number four in that fifth inning. That two-run shot gave the Brewers a 6-1 lead into the sixth inning. And Lauer, again, just dealing. Lead-off base hit by Contreras. Get you that. Another strikeout for the first out. Number nine in that sixth inning. Double play gets him out of that frame into the bottom of the sixth inning. Willy Adames, a leadoff walk in the sixth. But he is left stranded into the seventh inning. Eric Lauer, you going to let him get through the seventh? Yeah, council lets him, and he gets through it. Two more strikeouts. He did walk a man, 11 strikeouts through the seven innings, five hits, one walk, 96 pitches. That's his night. He has just been outstanding, guys. Brewers do not score in the seventh inning. Got a scoreless eighth inning. Here's where the fireworks start in the bottom of the eighth inning. They're not done yet. You might as well send them packing here. Willy Adames, a double. No challenge, but no need. That was close to the yellow line. No need to challenge because Christian Yelich knocked Adames and himself in.
About what the lineup is doing. His pitch selection. Wow.
Christian Yelich, deep center. Gone! Back-to-back games for Christian Yelich where he goes deep to straightaway center field.
That made it 8-1. They're not done yet. Next batter, first time this season, the Brewers go back-to-back.
And now Renfro to deep left. Back half and back-to-back go the Brew Crew.
And there's your final 9-1 as the Brewers get it done. All the highlights from Bally Sports Wisconsin. And, they now are 15-7. Through the first month. So now let's get to Craig Counsell. He's got to be pretty pleased with all that offense.
It's certainly definitely a part of it. Definitely plays a role in it. He's I think, you know, if you're asking, you guys can see him pitching that way. So and he's getting feedback from the hitters that his stuff is tough to hit. And I think that gives every pitcher confidence.
Craig, what are you liking the most out of all these positives that you're seeing from Eric over the last few starts?
I mean, I like that pitchers get hitters out equally. He's getting hitters out. And I think his stuff is, hitters are taking, he's throwing fastballs and he's in the strike zone and getting a swing and miss on a fastball in the strike zone. I mean, that's hard to do. In this league, and he's doing that pretty well.
Like, I think he had five of those in the first inning tonight, where he had five whiffs on the fastball. Did you know, kind of like right there, that this was going to be like one of those type of games for him, where he had that fastball working?
Well, I knew he felt good, kind of coming out of the gates for sure. I told you that for sure. He struck out the first four hitters. It was a good fastball, and it's playing the way it has recently.
Craig, offensively, you had tons of two-out hits today. That's got to be really encouraging that you can win games that way.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of, we didn't really hit the ball that hard early, and we got some, we got some production, and it was with two outs. Our replay guys did a great job today on that replay. On the field, it didn't look like there was much there, and they did a great job with that. We got a bunch of two-out hits, and we found some holes, and then later in the game, we started hitting some balls pretty good.
Was tonight an encouraging game for Lowe? He beats out that play at first base, steals second, that great catch.
He felt really good tonight. Just running around, and
a little bit of a slow start, but we're not his at bats are a little low, obviously lower than everybody else's. So he's, I think he's getting going, and you know, he's doing affecting the game in a lot of ways, which is what he brings to the table.
Does it feel like Christian and Hunter are maybe at the start of a hot streak?
I mean, I think Yelly's been, you know, there's been some great things with Yelly for sure. You know, I thought the base hit to left was, you know, off steel was, it's kind of a tough pitch to hit, hard ground ball. You know, that's kind of, if, you know, that's Christian Yelich to me as much as the home run, really. So that was my favorite at bat of the night, really, is that hard ground ball he hit to left field.
Someone said that on the radio today about an hour ago, hour and 15 minutes ago. Who was that, Tim? Yeah, I'm not sure who said that was the at-bat for Christian Yelich. That, to me, is the best sign out of tonight for Christian Yelich. People are going to hit home runs, and Yelich is going to get his fair share. But if you want to get a guy going, that's the type of at-bat you take a look at and say, Yeah, you gotta be impressed with that AB. The other way, hit hard, barreled up against a lefty, means everything is almost perfect on that swing, almost absolutely perfect. And so this is the song they play after a victory, still at
after
American
every
Family Field.
Victory. This is it.
Yeah, turn it up a little bit. Let's see. One of my favorite groups, too, Hall & Oates. Brewers beat the Cubs 9-1, and we'll come right back, take a look at tomorrow's matchup as well. Brewers going after a sweep. It's the Gene Wagner Plumbing Post Game Show, presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street here on The Fan.
You're listening to the Gene Wagner Plumbing Post Game Show, presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek on The Fan. Time to check Tim Allen's news and notes. Yeah, we know they're infamous, somewhat overrated, and, well, quite frankly, sometimes just plain old dumb. But he continues to read them. Okay, Tim, have at it, if you need to.
Okay, yeah, but this is... All of them aren't dumb, the news and notes. Some are actually very poignant and appropriate for the setting. How about that? And this one, I really like this. Eric Lauer, just an outstanding role that he's on. And the every start that he takes another step, and I'm not saying he's teetering on going back to being a pedestrian, you know, middle-of-the-road left-hander. I'm not saying that, but I'm fascinated that every start continues to reinforce the fact that he's a stud, because the numbers are bearing that out. And you heard Craig Counsell talk about it. You get swings and misses on fastballs in the zone. It's almost as if your fastball has a little additional life on it, almost like a carrier throw. It picks up speed, or it picks up momentum in the air. But I'm just fascinated by him, and what a pleasant surprise. Now, I don't know if David Stearns is all that surprised. Sometimes guys in his position, head coaches, managers, in whatever sport, and front offices, they're never surprised about anything. No, we knew Eric Lauer would be one of the best pitchers in baseball for just about a calendar year. Really? Yeah, I mean, really? Did you really, really think that Eric Lauer would be? And I'm not saying he was bad, but to stick with that trade to acquire Eric Lauer and Luis Urias for Zach Davies and Trent Grisham, to stick with them, hang with them, as they say, it's a proof in point right there, because a lot of folks on this radio station were screaming that trade was awful. Doesn't really look like it, and here's why. In last year, since June 27th, okay, so this is almost a calendar year, a couple of months away from calendar year, but close enough to start squawking these types of numbers. Since last June 27th, earned run average leaders with a minimum of 75 innings. Number one, Julio Urias, 204 for the Dodgers. Number two, Suarez of the Phillies, 208. Number three, Eric Lauer at 216 since last June 27th, ranking third. Number four, if we're keeping track in that span, Corbin Burnes at 221. And at number five on that list, Adrian Houser at 2.25. This is going back to late June of last year. Three of the top five are Milwaukee Brewers. And it's not the big three that we would all point to. That's a great news and note. Let's hear a couple of minutes of Eric Lauer as he pitched dominant baseball again tonight. Seven innings, 11 strikeouts, just one run allowed.
Eric, back-to-back 10-plus strikeout games for you.
It's never happened.
No, it hasn't. This is coming off, like you just said, like never happened before. I think Ohio was nine before this year.
Yeah.
It's kind of a similar question to Todd in that sense. Like, what's been, like, the biggest difference between, like, being able to do that now?
A lot of it has to do with just confidence. A lot of confidence in all my pitches right now. A lot of confidence in the way that I'm driving down the mound, the way games are being called. Just very confident with everything I'm throwing up there.
How much of that has to do with how you finished the season last year and what you were able to establish last year?
A lot. I think the end of last year really gave me a good jumping off point, and I feel like I was actually able to use this offseason instead of trying to, like, rework my mechanics, rework my pitching style. I was able to build off of that and kind of know what I was getting into coming in.
What do you think you guys – so go ahead.
I was just going to say, you ever think about, like, how – you had to kind of be patient. The start of your Brewers tenure didn't go the way you wanted it, and you just kind of kept working. Like, do you ever time to think about the path at all, or you just start to start?
A little bit. You think about, like, oh, where was I last year at this time kind of thing, and you can be a little proud of yourself as far as, like, see how far I've come as far as with the Brewers, like, not kind of not doing what I set out to do right away, and then kind of getting hurt, and then trying to rework a bunch of things. I mean, it's been a lot of effort, and it's nice to finally feel like things are falling into place.
Yeah, there he is, Eric Lauer. Another brilliant performance tonight. Just amazing. With the victory, 9-1, Brewers at 15-7. Another news and note, we can sit back and hopefully watch the Brewers sweep the Cubs back to Chicago, but there's another big game tomorrow. That's what they're telling me, Tim.
I think over in Boston. Bucks game one.
Yeah. Bucks. What time is that game? Bucks and
high noon.
High noon. High noon. Yep. Nice. Okay, so watch for that. And then the Brewers' first pitch at 1:10. After the last pitch, you make the switch right here. Gene Wagner Plumbing Post Game Show presented by Jim Dandy's on South 27th Street in Oak Creek. What a great pitching matchup on paper. Or is it? Depending on the numbers for Stroman, what do you have?
Yeah, Stroman 0-3 with a 6.98 ERA, 17 strikeouts, 6 walks this season. Going up against Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burnes, 1-0 with a 1.75 ERA, 25 innings pitched, 33 strikeouts, 6 walks.
Yeah, some of these numbers just amazing for this Brewers pitching staff. But that's going to do it for us. Another sweet victory over the Chicago Cubs. And I am going to have a scheduled off day tomorrow because of a couple of things going on. One is a scheduled off day, like a Braun, where it meets up against a team off day. That'll give me like an extended breather here of a couple of days. You guys are in good hands with Sam Schmitz tomorrow, and I may be checking in if things go haywire in this game for some odd reason. But I'll see you again on Tuesday. But the show does go on tomorrow. After the last pitch, you make the switch. We'll be talking Brewers baseball here on 1250 AM The Fan. For Tim Shea, my name is Tim Allen. Have a great night and smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!